Hey, thanks, Leanne. I just want to add my welcome to Leanne's and to you all. So, kia ora whānau. Really lovely to see you and to be together. Just thinking earlier, I was talking with Jacob, and it was like 3 years ago. We were like just finishing off lockdown and not meeting together or doing anything. So, yeah, that's good that it's not 2020 in that way. Hey, so want to just acknowledge some people here that I don't really know, but but lots of you do. Barbara Abbott is here, so welcome, and Charlene and Stuart Telford, so original West people. So that's pretty awesome that you guys are here from out of town and from overseas, so welcome. That's really great to have you here. Also, too, it's really awesome to have Ethan and Sophie here as well. Mr. and Mrs., the new Mr. and Mrs., so welcome back, guys, after your wedding and honeymoon, which got extended honeymoon into Easter camp, which was, you know, no doubt a beautiful thing. So, yeah, great to have you guys here, and everyone else who's new and regular, welcome. Hey, so my Ezra and Libby today, they're down in Christ, they've been down there for the week. We've had quite a quiet week at home. It's been quite lovely. But Aaron's still there, but no doubt. Yeah. Oh, now we have to do things. So they're down in Christchurch hanging out with Nana, with Naomi's mum and stepdad, and Nana and Papa, so they're having a really good time. Back tomorrow night. So yeah. Work out what yummy things we want to eat tonight without them. Hey, but when my kids were younger, we'd sometimes play the opposites game. I think we've done this here a couple of times, where I'd name something, and they'd have a go at trying to name the opposite, and they'd be like, you know, trying to rush in to see what was there, you know, what they could think of, what words they could, you know, what antonyms they could think of. So I thought I'd just throw a few out there today, because it was sort of linking with our theme, and I thought I'd start with one that particularly for Wayne. This one, the first word I've got here is asleep. I'm awake. Yeah, okay, yeah, so we know that one. Okay, villain.
A hero,
yeah, thanks, yeah. Fake.
Real,
another word.
Sort of.
True, yeah. Authentic, yeah. We don't have many kids here today, do we? I had a few of those, but I'm going to throw them out anyway. Simba. Scar, yeah, I heard Scar out there. Lion, yeah, yep. Harry Potter. Yeah. Well, I didn't say it. Captain Kirk. Yes. Opposite to a Klingon, you reckon? A Klingon? I also heard some people say, like, in terms of personalities, Spock. I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, so I don't really know, but, like, in terms of some of the personality. But anyway, okay, don't worry about that one. Mandalorian? What's that?
Barry
Crumb. What? Barry Crumb. Okay, yeah, so within the, maybe within Mandalorian, that sort of world, their world. Grogu, Baby Yoda, Yoda. Oh. Someone, come on. Who's he against? Who's Mandalorian against? True. It wasn't what I was going for. I was thinking like just bounty hunters in general. Yeah, you know, there was, you know, maybe. No, maybe not. Fail. Okay, and last one. Oh, no, I'm not even going to go there. Sweet. Okay. Hey, well, sometimes in life, the opposite of what we want to happen happens, right? Sometimes we might be aiming for something we think is good, but negative people and plans try to stop it. So there's opposites going on. Sometimes positive people and plans try to get going, but, yeah, the negative comes in and, you know, undermines it. So today, in week three, the final week of Renew Together, and it's all about refixing our eyes again on Jesus. For God has a mission in the world and invites us to join God's self in that mission, in the renewal of all things, together. So one way this is expressed is through us as a Baptist church sending people to live and work in challenging faraway places to support what God is doing to bring renewal. We've been supporting Sarah and Paul, Michaela and Malachi at the Loyal Workshop. And we've been supporting Ryan, Sophie, Spencer and Emerson at Joya. But these families are finishing up their work, and so we're looking to support some more people. So at our AGM after the service next week, we're going to talk more about this. So Renew Together is about supporting our overseas friends by denying ourselves something and giving the money to Arotahi to support their work. And Leanne will remind us of this soon. So over the first 2 weeks of Renew Together, we focused on Jesus' Great Commission, where we looked at Jesus' authority in saying to go, just as he role modeled going. We also looked at how Jesus includes non-perfect people and non-certain people in his Great Commission, which I think is great news. Phew, because there's meaning and there's purpose in life and there's a place for you and there's a place for me, a part of it all. So this morning we're turning our attention to how we move in this mission with Jesus. And our Arotahi video earlier featuring Baptist leader Sean Delaney had these words to say. What might our faith communities look like if we partnered with neighbourhood leaders and took our church outside its four walls, being led into unfamiliar places where the Holy Spirit guides, where the Holy Spirit is already at work? So when thinking about working with wood, going with the grain is apparently really important. Going with the grain is like going with where and how the Spirit is leading. It's recognizing that God is present and recognizing that God is at work. It can be tempting to think that we are the ones bringing God into the places we go, like we are carrying God with us or something, whether that be in our homes or our schools or our workplaces, wherever. However, when we stop and think about it, or when I stop and think about it at least, of course God is present and at work before we get to wherever we're going. We don't take God with us. God is with us, and God is already present and at work in all places. God is the God of the universe, right? So God, with the God whom each person reflects, and whose image they're made in. The God who could cause rocks to cry out in worship or a donkey to speak if us humans didn't. That God is present and at work and doesn't need us to bring God's self into those places. God's there. But a beautiful thing about looking at mission like this is that it takes the pressure off. Well, I find that. It's not about us, is it? We're simply asked to be faithful and to listen and to observe how and where God-like things are happening and to join in to help flourishing happen, like our Arotahi video said. And so moving in mission with God is about learning to observe, and it's about listening and about following the Spirit's leading. This is being aware of the grain pattern that is being carved in our communities. What is God doing, and how can we join in? This is, like Leanne said, this is, you know, partly how our church started, and a big part of that was our partnership with Spotswood Primary School, for example. There was a relationship built, things identified that, you know, where there could be mutual support and stuff, and there was a sense of God leading and making a way. And what about in our lives? In what ways have we seen something of God at work and being able to join in with that? We might not have thought, oh, that's God, but it might be just, you know, things that really matter to God, because God's in that, right? Where have we seen that and been able to join in? Perhaps noticing something a sibling or a friend or a child or a grandchild was doing that was very God-like, and being able to name that with them and encourage that to flourish more. Or perhaps noticing an opportunity to share something and having something to share. So I think of that with our garden and our fruit trees and the baking that Libby's been doing a lot lately, which I've been really enjoying. You know, it's going with the grain. It's stuff that's already happening. It's there. It's going with and where and how the Spirit of Jesus is leading, recognizing that God is already at work. So, special treat. We have Ross, who's going to come and tell us a little bit about going with and against the grain and working with wood. So, thank you, Ross. With a bag of goodies. Do you want to be up here or down there or what? Up to you.
Up here. I'm not going to have to hold
anything. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Hi. Just a disclaimer before I start. This is not my trade. I'm a mechanic, so it's a hobby. So what I'm going to tell you is things that I've picked up along the way, and if I use the wrong terminology, then I'm sorry, but this is... Andrew said, asked me to write a few things down, and anyone that knows me, writing is not my forte in the slightest, so I haven't. I'll just waffle for a few seconds. Tried to make an example. This is just a little bit of pallet timber. So it's the grottiest, cheapest, nastiest pine you can buy, basically. Or don't buy, because you'd get the pallet for nothing. And the grain on this piece of wood is relatively straight. So one of the biggest things that you have when you're working with wood is ideally you want to work with the grain all the time. Sometimes you can't, but you're trying to minimise it. Now, the best way that you can minimise the damage you do to the grain is taking very small cuts, very, very fast. I'll put this through my thicknesser, and the taper bit at the end I've done with on a sanding drum. My thicknesser runs at 20,000 RPM. That's revs per minute. It has three blades on it. So in an inch, it cuts nine, on the slow speed, which is what I've done this because I wanted it to be a wee bit obvious. On the slow speed, it takes 96 cuts in 1 inch. Now, for the younger people here, might not know what an inch is. I've marked it on the side of here, the little black piece. That's an inch. So 96 cuts in that space is quite fast. And to look at it, it looks pretty good. You know, if you've got really good eyes and you get it in the right light, you can see the difference between one side and the other. But where you can tell the difference is if you just use these eyes, and if you just rub your fingers along it, it's nice and smooth on the side that's going with the grain, and you can feel the roughness on the other side. So that's my first example. I'll hand that down there and everyone can have a feel. So that's the difference when you're trying to make it good. So then I took the same piece of wood, and in this one I used a spoon knife. It's a little wee curved knife that they use for making wooden spoons. And I haven't completed the job because I just wanted it to be a... So on one side I've gone with the grain and I made a little hollow, and you can feel that. On the other side I've gone against the grain. And because it's going a lot slower and it's a knife that can flex a little bit, it grabs, it bites. So that's a... You can have a feel of that one as well. That's a more obvious example of working against the grain. If you've got a cat or a dog and you pat them from the head down, try patting another way. That's going against the grain. It feels horrible and they probably don't like it either. One of the things, I hope this is going to be helpful, because I haven't heard what Andrew's talking about, so hopefully I'm not destroying it for you. What I do, the main thing that I do is turning things, okay? And I'm still learning. But this piece here, and most pieces, the grain on this is going across here. And it's spinning around. So when you're cutting it with a chisel, you can't help but go against the grain, because every time that turns around, I'm going with the grain, across the grain, against the grain, with the grain, across the grain, with the, every rotation. So you get rough spots. So you have to put a lot of work into it, and you by turning it at different speeds and using very sharp tools and the angles that you use the tools on and the sanding sealers and so on and so forth, the whole point is to try and hide the fact that I've gone against the grain, if that makes sense. And I belong to a couple of turning clubs, and when you take something along and you hand it out, the first thing that people do when they get it is they go... And that's because they're feeling for those imperfections. They're feeling for that roughness. And if they smile, you know you've done a good job at hiding it. and they're not being rude. We can't help it because we know, because you do it, you know that you know what's hard and what's easy, and you go, oh, I appreciate that. You guys done a good job of that, you know. So they pass that around and have a look. I hope that's been some help.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's great. That looks really neat, eh? Yeah. So you've got those to pass around and, yeah, see if you can notice the difference. Cool. Thanks very much, Ross. That's great. Cheers. Hey, so we've looked a bit about going with the grain, about going with the Spirit, being aware the Spirit's active and present and at work. But what about the opposite to that? Going against the grain. In our case, where there is opposition to Jesus' mission. Even before Jesus announced his mission to the disciples, an opposite counter-mission was already underway. So we read this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 to 15. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests what had happened. When the chief priests, you guys got the, I didn't explain the context of this passage, did I? I suppose we can pick up on that for those who know the story. Around Jesus' resurrection. So that's probably quite a helpful thing. After he was dead, killed. Right, okay, so while the women were on the way, some of the guards went into the city, reported to the chief priests what had happened. When the chief priests in turn held a meeting with the elders and, after working out their strategy, gave a considerable amount of money to the soldiers with these instructions. You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if any word of this gets out to the governor, we will straighten it out with the governor and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and carried out their instructions. This is the story that circulates among Judeans to this very day. So Matthew records that the resurrection initiated two opposite missions that begin at the same time. Perhaps like different characters, Luke and Darth Vader or something like that, trying to achieve opposite things. There was the mission of the woman to the church and the mission of the soldiers to the Sanhedrin, or the priests and elders. One mission was to advance Jesus' gospel, and the other was to stop it. And this reality reminds us that following Jesus' mission will always lead to opposition and will encounter counter-mission. The resurrection message of Jesus and about Jesus has had opponents from day one. So our passage tells us that the soldiers came into the city to report or to tell. Now this is a missionary word. It's because it's the same word that Jesus used in sending the woman to tell the disciples that he was risen. Wherever true mission goes, a mysterious false mission accompanies and counters. That's what Bruno says. We should not be surprised when counter mission springs up around us too. Arotahi leader Alan Jameson, or AJ, he tells the story of walking through Calcutta and seeing that near where Mother Teresa had established her home of compassion, there was another group that was there, sort of like protesting, questioning her ministry and the rightness of her faith, and putting down her work of Mother Teresa. So if we shouldn't be surprised when opposition comes, then what can we learn from Jesus when opposition springs up? Firstly, Jesus does not address the counter mission. Maybe that's a bit like not pointing out the against the grain bits in the bowl. I don't know. Jesus does not address the counter mission. The disciples and we should not fear it or fight it. Just be aware of it. Earlier, Jesus had told a parable about weeds and wheat, We both grew up together. And that gives us a clue as to how we are to respond to opposition and counter mission initiatives. I quite like that. Far too much energy can be spent on defending and attacking and casting out opposition actions. There's no need to fear it or fight it. Just be aware of it. A second thing we can learn from Jesus and opposition is that we shouldn't be surprised that counter-mission is well-funded. It was with the first counter-mission initiative too. Think of Judas Iscariot. Money had already compromised there, and you know, which led to him handing money being handed over to hand Jesus over to the soldiers. And now it compromises the leadership of the ancient people of God as well, with these soldiers being given money. In one of Arotahi's partner locations, where young people are trained and doing theological training to train as pastors and stuff like that, there's a large financial support to train local young men in that area to directly oppose the Christian message. So a third thing we can learn from Jesus and opposition is that the counter mission doesn't always make sense. Doesn't always make sense, but it may spread regardless. Like as verse 13 states, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep." So if they were asleep, how could they know the disciples came and stole the body away, right? Sometimes a counter mission can be senseless, and still people will believe it. Jesus doesn't seem surprised, though. He's not alarmed, and he's not motivated to act against the counter mission. Jesus simply, perhaps even calmly, continues to give the disciples the Great Commission. Jesus trusts. Go with what the Holy Spirit is doing. There is always a counter movement. We're not asked to engage with it or become fearful. We are told to remember that Jesus is right there with us, already working on the mission. As he said, "Look, I myself am there with you all the days." And I think it's really good to notice that that's not like a future tense sort of thing, as if Jesus was saying, "I will be with you." But it's a present tense. It's assuring the disciples, and hopefully assuring to us as well today, that Jesus saying, "I am right there with you." So we've seen Jesus' great authority and his call to go, and that Jesus is with us, and we've heard Jesus' great commission for non-perfect people and non-certain disciples, and that we can still be a part of things. So today his aim to highlight that God is already at work, and so we don't need the pressure of thinking we're responsible for taking God into the places we go. Rather, we can go with the grain, joining in the beautiful work of Wairuatapu. We can also be aware, but not full of fear, about opposition. So, let's keep our eyes on Jesus in our families, in our classrooms, in our workplaces, in our community. Mea noi tātou. Let's pray together. Loving God, help us to always take courage that you are with us, that you have been before us, that you are alive and at work, even when it might not feel like it. We pause now and think of an area of our life that we would love to see you at work more in. Help us to see your fingerprints. Grant us the grace, God, to see you, and grace us with the desire to join you, God. And where there are good things happening, we realize sometimes there is counter-mission going on. And so we pause again to talk with you about a situation we're aware of, maybe in someone else's life or our own, where there is opposition. So God, we ask that you would strengthen all involved to be like Jesus, keeping our eyes on you. And as a church, help us to always think of how we can join our community in the God-like work that they are already doing. We want your kingdom to come, God, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.